You know what would have been funny is if Christian Bale, his famous on-set meltdown was during the shooting of this.
Yeah.
Like a tiny scarecrow
the
man.
The tiny little skeleton man.
You're in the way of the fucking people doing their jobs, dude. Just gesticulating with his spindly little
with his
bird
spine,
arms.
With his ribs.
His ribs exposed. And the guy's just like grossed out and trying not to make eye contact with his exposed ribs. Yeah.
Hot take. I actually think he's in the right for that.
Oh, no, he is.
100%. It's one of the few, where I watched the whole clip and I'm like, it's acceptable behavior compared to most of the shit you see.
Yeah. Him and Tom Cruise were like, they're kind of right.
Yeah. I mean, like, if there's a bunch of sound happening and you're trying to do your work.
It's like we've rehearsed for weeks. It's you're wasting $10,000 a second right now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, everybody wants to go home. Shut up. Yeah.
But all right, so we're starting from a pro-Bale stance. No.
No. Welcome to Frame Rate, everybody.
The show where we rate frames.
That's right. I'm Michael Swaim.
I'm Abe Epperson.
Oh my God,
and we're joined together with our guest for this episode. Introduce yourself.
I guess that just leaves me. I'm Bridget Greenberg. It doesn't work with three people.
Well, the fourth name we could have used and you could have used is who we have to thank for this episode.
Yeah.
Via the Pick the Flick tier, which if you're listening to this in, April.
Year of our Lord.
Of the year of our Lord to 2024. We're gonna turn that off for a bit and just let frame rates be what we want to do. But so Joran got in. But we want to thank Joran Welling for, pointing up the money. We will turn on the Pick the Flick tier again, which again is the tier that allows you to pick the movies that we cover. But that will be in a few months from now, just FYI for people looking for that. And we'll try to make an announcement when it does officially turn on. But for this instance, he asked us to record an episode on 2004's The Machinist, hence the Christian Bale talk.
Bale talk.
That's right. So yeah. What else? That's it. I think we typically start frame rates.
Mm-hmm. You're in luck with the topic of this episode.
Yeah.
That's right. Typically we start frame rates by asking our guests to kind of run down, I guess, their relationship to the movie. Is it the first time you watched it? Did you watch it when it came out?
This is the first time I've seen The Machinist. It's one of those movies that has always floated around, you know, the list of blind spots of movies that I know I should have seen, and I never did. And I haven't because it's kind of a bummer. it's a creepy movie. It's not like...
And did you suspect it would be a bummer that kept you away?
No, not necessarily. It just... I don't think that's why. I think it's a hard movie to convince yourself to turn on. I feel like I was telling my boyfriend that I needed to watch it, and normally he gets very excited when I have to watch movies for podcasts, and he's like, "I'll watch that again." And this one, he was like, "No, that movie creeps me out too much. I can't watch it again."
Yeah.
So I think that's also why I haven't revisited it. When we like go down lists, it's on there, and we're like, "Not right now."
Yeah.
It's because of his Jack Skellington looking ass.
Yeah. It's also, so this was the first time I saw this movie. I knew it was the one where Christian Bale got super skinny. And
he did a reverse Batman.
I know. Yeah, he was a reverse Batman, reverse American Hustle. And so that is what I knew about it. I knew it was like this creepy thriller type movie. But that was really it. I was surprised and very happy to see Jennifer Jason Leigh in it, because she's great in everything.
Hudsucker Proxy, baby.
Yeah, she's always
Annihilation. Let's get out of town.
Single white female, that's a movie we should do. I saw it was what I thought it would be in my head. Which is also, I feel like this movie suffers in hindsight from being like so many other movies around that time.
Does that include the big twist ending? Did you expect a big twist ending?
I did not know there was going to be a twist, but I caught on to it obviously pretty early. What this movie I think does really well is set a tone and a vibe. I mean, that sting, its musical theme is very much like there's a creepy mystery going on here. And again, I think this movie suffers a little bit just because I immediately knew what it was, just because there are a lot of movies from this time that look like this and have that feeling, that I kind of saw it coming the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I know
don't
what you
know,
mean.
I don't know if that was a big shock when people saw it in theaters at the time.
Fascinating. It's the second time I've watched it and I forgot. It surprised me again.
It surprised
you? Surprised you. Wow. That's
for a
so
second
funny.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like, I'm with Bridget, seeing the trick so many times now, viewing it in 2024. I was like looking for it. Like, you're almost always like, this motherfucker doesn't exist, because like no one talks to that person in the movie, and you're like, I'm pretty sure it's all enclosed.
Yeah, yeah. No one talks to him. No one looks at him even really. I've learned to trust movies. I've learned to trust movies when people are like, this guy doesn't exist, that he probably doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's just the maneuvers they do.
But I mean, there's the reveal of what the fact that he's losing weight because if he's haunted by traumatic incident.
That
you saw all that coming. Good for you.
You know, the reveal of what the traumatic incident was and how it plays into everything we saw previously, that I did not, like, that I obviously could not have guessed, would not have been on my bingo card of what happened in this movie. I knew the guy didn't exist. I knew that Christian Bale was probably Ivan, in some capacity. I do think this movie does a really good job at not overplaying its hand on what exactly happened and how the details line up with the rest of the movie. Sometimes that reveal can be a little clunky and a little like, nah, okay, very clever movie. But I think this one does this pretty subtly.
It's whether you roll your eyes at it, which I could see as a possible reaction too, but it does it with very concrete. It almost reminded me of Throwback, especially with the score, as you said, it's kind of dated feeling, like a Pelican Brief or even a Chinatown at moments.
Yeah.
But the idea of everything that's been in his psyche is in that single shot. Like even the water tower that he's been seeing in the background of certain shots was present when he did the hit and run on the kid.
Right.
It's specifically not sleeping and losing weight, which are traditional guilt things where you go, oh yeah, that is what happens when you feel guilty. You can't sleep, you lose weight. Route 66 tchotchke on the dash, you know, the cigarette lighter features, and then it features again. So they don't do it with anything that reveals character. They're just like, you know, this little bobblehead was there. Now, you know, his delusion works this way.
Right. I think it works really well that no one else in the world seems to know what has happened too. That no one else is alluding to it. I feel like in these other movies, sometimes you have other people trying to give the hint of like, why are you acting this way? This is weird. It's not like you. That he seems to have not kept any relationships from the before times.
Yeah, the only reference that we get of his previous life, I mean, we do see a shot of him pre-losing weight when we have the deed. So we see that he had like a girlfriend and like his life was on.
He had a nice car. Yeah.
He had a nice car. He was fine. Didn't have problems, it seems. And then we just jump to he has a new life where he's seen a prostitute who's Jennifer Jason Leigh playing.
Now
Stevie.
He weighs as much as he weighed when he was in Newsies. Same way.
Yeah, same way. Yeah.
And he, and even his friends at work are like, they do reference, man, you changed, you know, but they don't like have an intervention, which is something dudes would do. It's like you
dudes
change your look.
Dudes in 2004? Yeah.
Yeah, it's you change your look you over the span of 4 years. Yeah, to be like, oh man.
Oh, well, I did not pick up that he... I guess they do reference, like, yeah, before you used to go out and have fun with us. I assumed he had a different job, just maybe because of the car.
It's possible, yeah.
Because of the nice car, that doesn't really line up with the factory worker vibe, but...
Right.
I think it's just so Ivan's car would stand out, and what stands out, red. It's the same reason the little girl's jacket is red, in Schindler's List. Because it's a desaturated movie. And you want it to pop.
I also, I mean, they used the same, that coloring is so prevalent in so many movies, especially of this time.
Of this era, yeah.
Nine Inch Nails
yellow would like tinge, this movie. Yellow and blue or teal.
Yeah, that like, green toxic look, and it's ugly and I don't like it. It works very well for this movie, but it also is the same coloring scheme as Fight Club, which doesn't help it, which is a very similar, I guess not very, but you know, the twist of it all is very similar, and it doesn't help it came out after, and you can't help but draw the comparison to Fight Club.
Oh, there was, as you alluded to, there was absolutely a thing for like 5 years.
Yeah,
like we had Sixth Sense in 1999, mm-hmm. Fight Club in 1999, Eyes Wide Shut in 1999, and then Memento was in 2000.
It's Memento too.
Beautiful Mind
very...
was in 2001. Vanilla Sky.
That was.
And there was a movie Identity that came out the year before Identity with John Cusack.
Good movie. Yeah.
So we were just in love for like 5 years.
Has the guy
and
with
of
the
course,
shaky eyes.
There was movies before, and there's been movies since, but like it was definitely like non-linear storytelling,
mm-hmm.
where we like piece together exactly what happened, which I think this movie is basically copy and paste.
Yeah,
like Fincher and Christopher Nolan had a baby.
Yeah,
you know?
There was
it's Memento and Fight Club.
There's a Chuck Klosterman book. They all meld together in my head, so I can't remember if it's like Eating the Dinosaur or something, where he talks about this period of movies between, I think he calls it specifically like between 1999 and 2001. This movie's a little outside of that, but it's all like, what is reality movies? Questioning reality
source
movies.
Code.
Source Code. There are movies that exist outside, but he talks specifically about like how The Matrix kind of kicked it off, and then you have movies like Donnie Darko and stuff that follow, and Vanilla Sky being kind of the end of the run of this being good, of this working
existence.
Yeah. Where it kind of jumps
movies,
a shark.
It's absolutely, it was like a phenomenon, you know, like we just decided to do that.
Yeah. Coexist with like the, you know, internet becoming more and more prevalent and being able to make up what reality is. It kind of fits into that era as something that was on top of mind for a lot of people. So I think we see a ton of movies like this. I don't think it helps this movie that it looks like those movies too. I wish it was stylistically different. I don't know how it would be. I think the style also fits the vibe of this movie. So
I wonder why that was, like, what was happening? Because it wasn't 9/11. What was happening in 1999 where we were like, culturally, we're like, oh yeah. We just had it with like mainstream society. I think the advent of the internet really jump started the connectivity of people in a really strange way. And I know that that's not a direct parallel, but I think you just have this like organization and hyperspeed of connectivity happening between humans.
Yeah,
and people were just like, I don't know what to do with this. What is the future? What is reality?
Yeah,
it could be digital even. And that made people lose their fucking minds.
Yeah.
And I think it's also that Philip K. Dick, like, honestly, single-handedly created this subgenre of single closed off sci-fi. Like, they're just mining what there is to mine.
Right.
It's a hit, so you follow that trend.
But that would mean that trend could happen as soon as, you know, the 80s, right? You know, his stuff has been around.
It is kind of a Gen X-y impulse, like cynicism about the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think The Matrix was probably the biggest heavy lifting in terms of that.
Yeah, yeah, I think The Matrix kind of exploded stuff. That thought experiment for people. And then it is, I mean, there it is very fun to play with in cinema and the tricks you can pull.
Yeah.
And the ways you can pull those tricks. I think that's why we, there's so many variations on the same twist. And they're all done in different ways, even if it's the same twist. With right, a lighter yeah. touch or more heavy-handed or more gimmicky or what have you. I think this movie, what it relies on and what it does the best is just the performances. Christian Bale is so good in this.
He's fantastic. And you can see, you know what? There's moments of it where I was like, they actually made, what I like it they did with the characters, they could have just made him a real sad sack. Like it.
Yeah, he's not doing the Edward Norton sad sack kind
yeah.
of. Yeah, he is like actively trying to get, in some ways he's a bystander to his insomnia and guilt or whatever, and in some ways he's actively trying to get control of it. He's somewhere right. in between the Guy Pearce in Momentum and Edward Norton in Fight Club.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think that they do that by installing these little bits where like he actually has like game. Right, mm-hmm. like when yeah. he's talking to Maria, like
yeah, he's trying.
Fairly charismatic, which
oh,
is kind of reminiscent.
Game. I thought you were talking
of
about
American Psycho,
game.
Right? Like he's in American Psycho, he's also playing a character who's like a shell, but can fake like a flirtatious
yeah.
conversation or jockeying it with the buds. You know, like he's capable of that.
He's a
not
shell
like,
for a different reason. Yeah,
yeah, he's not guilt. Overwrought with depression.
Even though
he is.
Yeah, I would. Put this up there and maybe even rank it number one. I have to think about it a little bit more, but like up with one of his best performances. Just because, I mean, he's obviously great in American Psycho, but that character is also very gimmicky, I guess. I mean, it's very over the top. There's so much.
What about the social impact of me, Batman?
Yeah.
Be Batman.
Well, yeah, no. It'll
I mean,
always
it's
be
Batman.
Batman
is Batman. It's,
Batman
is
Batman. It's, that's not an acting feat, even though he's one of the best
sure.
to do it. But yeah, I
not,
think just
yeah.
like from an actor standpoint, he is the most like dialed in and playing the most nuanced character I can think of off the top of my head right now.
But I'm talking brain share.
That's a good point.
Batman all the
also,
way.
Also, don't sleep on Empire of the Sun. Little
that's
little,
true. Yeah. That's
little
true.
Baby Christian Bale.
I will also go to my grave for American Hustle, but that's just me. That's a conversation for a different day.
John Malkovich,
I
always
Psycho.
Forget is in that.
Yeah.
I only saw Vanilla Sky once when I was 14, and all I remember now is that someone screams at Tom Cruise, but I swallowed your cum, and then they
yes.
have a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no context.
Like most car accidents.
Yeah.
I'm just revealing so many bad takes. I like Vanilla Sky.
Nice.
I watched
it. I don't think that's terribly like heated
I think
of
it's
a take.
Pretty. I think it's pretty.
I think it's considered
like
bottom third of these types of movies.
Movies, oh for sure. And I just remember watching it after I got my wisdom teeth pulled out, so I was on some painkillers watching it, and
there you
I loved it. Didn't see it coming. That was
I had a great time.
Yeah.
Well, it does take me to the thing that I actually would say Vanilla Sky has over this, which is it had big set pieces and turns throughout.
Yeah.
Whereas I almost felt like I liked this more because it was my second viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, and then the prestige happens at the end,
yeah.
and you're like,
another
oh,
one, yeah.
The solution in every case of all the things I was confused about
yeah.
is there was a car accident and he did it and it's guilt. And so because they have to like light the fuse on everything at the end, it's funny on Small Beans Movie Night for April Fools, we just watched Safe House with Patrick Stewart and a thing about that movie I actually felt is similar to this movie, which is that it stays in act one for a long time. Like you
it
see
does.
The, you see the, I think the weakest recurring thing is the Hangman game, because yeah. it's just funny that he's like doing a game with him. So like the reveal Hangman that thing does not silly.
Fully that never fully worked. And when it was like killer, we're like, yeah.
I think it's like,
but
he
don't
looks
you
like
see
a
that he's like
too.
A Hangman? He's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he's like a killer.
Of death. Yeah. He's a killer. You see?
Which could be Miller or. What, Ben Stiller? I forget the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it went from Mother. Mother was.
Mother, that's right.
Yeah.
It's always Tucker? Always goes to Mother. For, always mother's goes first. To
Mother. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a few moments in this where I was like, it's not as well put together.
The pacing is a little, I mean, it's a tight movie, which I appreciate. It's an hour and 45, which, mm-hmm. amazing. Yeah. Good work. That's hard to pull off with a movie where you need to lay down this many tracks. And it true. Does it pretty well, but it does. There is something that feels like rushed.
Yeah. There's like the Hangman stuff and like,
or,
it's
yeah,
all very
not fully
convenient.
Explored. Yeah. Not fully.
I do like that. Like a lot of, the things that he's like telling on himself, like he's specifically getting in car accidents to yeah. draw himself into. Like, you want to go to the police station. You want to give yourself up. But there's, like, we were talking about, like, someone not existing. There's a character in this movie, Ivan, who's a figment of his imagination, who's a fellow machinist who's, you know, mysterious and kind of seemingly deadly yeah. and causes an accident at work. But there, he literally has a drink with him at one point at a bar.
Yeah.
And he's there to accuse him of... literally not existing. Like, he's there to say, like, you right. might be a figment of my imagination. And it's funny to me, and it's a weird movie choice that they don't have a scene where he turns to the bartender who's right there and right. goes, hey, does this asshole
exist?
Do you
see this man? Yeah.
I was waiting for that, because he does that at work. He finds out he's not on the payroll. I do think they probably shy away from that. I wonder if knowing that this trick one has been done before yeah. and that the Ivan of it all is maybe the weakest kind of
the
misdirect
of
that
all.
They have the Ivan of it all yeah is maybe the weakest misdirect that they have
I think it like
well because you have to cast to it with a human actor and yeah. so you always end up with the question of why is it that guy? Why does he look like that?
Why yeah. does he look like that?
Right. Yeah, at least, that's your imagination?
Yeah, at least Edward. Me. Yeah, at least Edward Norton's guy made him look like Brad Pitt.
Where it's like, oh, yeah. that's a perfect because he's a distillation of the super, you know, consumer
ego,
lifestyle
yeah.
that you're making fun of. He fits perfectly
he's
that
he's highly
motif.
Sexualized, you know, he's
right.
this guy's just a kind of a weird looking guy
with
who
a,
has
with
a toe for a thumb or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah.
A thumb toe. Yeah. I yeah.
Lobster hands.
He has the best creepy smile I've yeah. seen.
Bad man
hands. Fantastic casting.
Yeah, he has yeah. He has an incredible.
Are those
creepy
fake
smile.
Upper teeth? They feel like the upper teeth have to be.
They feel like they have
seen
to be.
Him. I don't
or
know.
Was he cast for having really long
I
teeth?
I think he might have been. I don't know. I can't speak to it. But I feel like I've seen him in other stuff, and I remember big teeth. But it could just be remembering this movie. So,
yeah.
If you're, if the actor is listening to this, you know, if,
tell us about your teeth.
Tell us about your teeth.
Yeah,
John Sharian.
Yeah, he's great in this movie. And I think he does a good job, I think, that character embodying, I guess he is the embodiment of this guy's guilt and what he sees himself as this menacing monster.
Exactly, yeah. It also makes sense that his name is Ivan, because obviously the strongest literary influence is Dostoevsky, the Russian novelist, right?
The and idiot, even, which they zoom in on. So yeah, I did yeah. look up
what's that about?
What's yeah. that about? And the synopsis I got is it's almost a proto Forrest Gump. It's a character who's truly good experiencing all the like modern pitfalls of society. And quote, his primary motivation in writing the novel was to subject his own highest ideal, that of true Christian love, to the crucible of contemporary society. So obviously it's just what this is, like, can he do the right thing? It was another right. story about a character being like, can he do the right thing
right.
after mm-hmm. the worst kind of trauma that society can dish out? Nightcrawler-y, yeah. in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Dostoevsky actually has a novel called The Double, which is kind of similar to this,
yeah.
or similar to another frame rate that we covered with Jason
Didn't
Pargin.
Didn't that become a Jesse Eisenberg movie also at some point?
I don't know much about okay. Jesse Eisenberg. Right. But
I don't
watch
know
yourself,
of
counselor.
Him.
I also like that they do a thing where at one point he takes. So he's seen this waitress who also doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He's seen this waitress, Maria, and she has a kid, which becomes relevant because the kid is who he hits with
this
car.
She's the mom of the She's kid the, that he yeah. hit, right? In reality?
Yeah. So in his mind, he's trying to make up for it and being nice to her.
Oh, and he usually suspects her because in her house is all the shit that's really his dead mom's shit.
Yeah. And he takes the little boy. At one point, they go to like the boardwalk, and they go to the theme park that's there. And there's a ride called Route 666,
right?
Which is a little on the nose. It's a car themed.
I do like that carnival sequence quite a
but,
bit. I will say, when the movie
yes.
got me, is when I thought he died in that carnival.
Yeah, that was actually it's one of the standalone scenes that I bookmarked in terms of like, oh, because some. There's a few shots in it where some of the obvious robotics, like the
yeah.
It's a Small World after all, kind of, because it's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It's you're just driving through and seeing
right.
these animatronics play out in front of you. And when he starts doing things where it's like it cuts to another, we move on to another section of the ride,
mm-hmm.
and we just get a little glimpse of what's happening over there, and he's kind of losing his mind and panicking. Some of the robotics, I'm almost positive, although I didn't find any research online on this movie to verify it, but I have to believe there's like a shot or two where he just inserts real people, real actors acting robotically. And
oh.
I think it's a nice touch.
I gotta go
losing
back.
Your mind, right? Simple actions that are like, was that a real person right there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that carnival sequence is a one that works the best for this movie and its twist, because mm-hmm. also I kind of wish that launched the second act, and the second act went more along those lines, because yeah, it was weird that he showed up there on Mother's Day. You're kind of like, whoa, jump cut, but you're going with it. The whole intro into the carnival is really weird. I think that whole freak out there and what happens with the kid, they kind of just never follow up on
epileptic
that
epileptic seizure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They never,
Well, I think that's
yeah.
the kid he hit jerking
yes.
around on the pavement. That's
right.
what he's incorporating. It's Usual Suspects.
It's
so
yeah.
many things, like many TV shows. Like, I think Muppet Babies did this. Just the idea that you look around the room and improvise whatever from your life, from whatever you're trying to hide from yourself. It's
yeah.
a good version of that, but it's not novel
it's not,
in that way. But it did
not,
get me. I was surprised.
Me, I wish they escalated from there. There was not a clear escalation of Christian Bale trying to get to the bottom. I mean, I guess there is.
That's why I mean it's almost more satisfying if you immediately rewatch it again.
Yeah.
But that's a knock almost. Like, you shouldn't have to do that.
No, but I see what you're saying, where it does, yeah, where a second watch would be good, where you can just.
Well, because you
I,
just start
track.
Noticing how much they did it. It's like mathematical. There's so many instances.
There's a
oh,
lot
you're
of
like,
it.
That is that. Oh, that is that. Oh, baked There's into a- that moment where he did the hit and run, everything
yeah.
in the frame is something that worked into his delusion, except the hangman game.
Except for that hangman game, which
yeah,
is like
the
one thing they keep going. Well, not the one thing, but they go back to that the most, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's the one thing that I don't feel like fully adds up to anything.
It's almost like I gave you all the clues vibes.
Yeah, it does feel
Policeman.
Very Mr. Snowman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Mr.
You
Police.
See, it's a children's game and he killed a child.
Yeah, that's right. And he looks yeah. like a stick figure because he's so skinny.
He's so skinny.
Yeah.
So speaking of that moment in Route 666, I got to point this out because the writer, I think the writer would be very sad if someone didn't notice or call attention to the fact that in Route 666, he says, no, go right. And the kid goes left, which is the path to hell.
Yes.
The sinister side.
I did notice that.
Yes.
And I did like it.
And then later.
And then the flashback, he goes the wrong.
Later he's fleeing from the police in the sewer. And to the right is a human being, and he goes to the left, and he has a bad time because he metaphorically goes to hell. And then at the end, he's making his final decision about whether to do the right thing or flee the country. And rather than go
to the
left
airport.
To the airport, he goes right to the police station, which is the route to heaven.
So Christian love won out. The lesson is always turn right.
Always do. It's funny that it's that literal, but always do the right thing.
If you, I mean, left, right, sinister. I think that there's
a
reason
a
that we used to think that left-handed people were like demons.
Used to,
you know.
I'm a demon.
You're left-handed, motherfucker. Yeah. Dunking on lefties.
Never been debunked.
Never been
after
debunked.
After hours demon.
Yeah. It's not a first, not a bad first date. I should say. Give her kid a seizure. Go back to her place.
I think
she's so nice about it.
She is.
It's never a problem at all.
Yeah.
Because it's his fantasy, right? Mm. Like, you're forgiven in a way.
In reality, he's abusing a sex worker. That's his real life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she seems pretty into it.
She seems to like him.
She likes him. I don't think she's into the behavior.
Probably not, no.
Well, yeah. There's that one scene.
Plus,
yeah,
she's got a scoop. She's got to file a scoop by 5 p.m.
I bet my Pulitzer are on it. Yeah. Also, quite a place for a waitress. I just love to notice that in movies we do this. We're like, what's your job? A machinist or a waitress? You know, like a blue-collar job where it's not necessarily, you know, you're going to have an apartment in the city probably in most cases. She's has like a penthouse apartment at the top of like a tower.
Everyone's living quarters are strange and feel like they change a lot. Obviously, the waitresses does because it doesn't exist. He lives in a huge apartment.
Yeah.
Well, machinist is a specialized trade.
It is a specialized job.
It seems skill-based. I think that's another kind of cool writing flourish is he's super into knowing the union rules like the back of his hand. He's very rules-driven, and that's why it tortures him so much is normally he's rules.
He's the rules guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. The speaking of like not following the rules, one of the big moments in this movie that comes around the act two break, is Michael Ironside is in this and he loses his arm. Do you think later in the timeline he's going to lose his legs to some bugs?
You mean because we see him mowing the lawn or whatever? Is his
no,
last
no,
appearance?
It's just canon with Starship Troopers. Like, he's the leader of the Roughnecks in Starship Troopers, and he's also got a missing arm. It's just weird to me that he literally loses the same arm at the same place. I don't know. Everyone fights. No one quits. Or I'll shoot you.
I think weird thoughts sometimes.
I think, you know, sometimes I think Michael Ironside thoughts. That's what I do.
Michael Ironside, he loses his limbs.
So do you think, noticing that there is stuff that's on that symbolic writerly level, do you think there's, I mean, I feel like there has to be a particular thematic reason he is a machinist, and I haven't actually cracked that. Like, why is that his job? Metaphorically, if it means anything.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is an interesting question.
I mean, there's nothing that really jumps out at me that I wouldn't be reaching for.
It's like you make a single mistake and it has dire consequences. That's similar to...
Right.
There's an order of operations. It's kind of like a lot of films will often use like a clockmaker or someone who has like this apparatus doesn't... If one piece is out, the whole thing breaks down.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? that might be related, but a machinist is truly someone who builds like a part of the machine.
They
yeah,
also
he's using
very,
machines, but he's building
yeah.
machines. Like,
they're also
parts.
Very vague about what they are doing in that factory. I mean, purposely
they're
so.
They're machining,
but
Bridget.
They're machine. Yeah, it's just machines.
See
you
the
know,
problem.
They're just made. They're doing machine stuff.
It's like, forget the papes. I got to get these machines out.
Get four machines on my desk by 5 p.m.
There are not enough machines. We got to get these machines out.
Wait. Are you a machine boss?
Rise of the machines. Yeah. yeah. It's, I don't know really the answer to that one.
Also, speaking of the Hangman game.
Yeah.
When you are sitting there and it just says like dash, 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 ER, and you think, oh, that's mother. Why would you confirm it by filling in the letters physically?
Yeah,
wouldn't
with a
you,
pen.
I know this is nitpicking, but wouldn't you just think it? You'd go, I think it's mother. I would even buy more if he went mother under his breath.
Yeah,
than
or just
filling
like spelt
it out
and yeah, pointed yeah. to the thing. Yeah.
M-O-T-H-E-R.
Now, this might be revealing
mother.
That I don't know how to play Hangman.
Oh,
but
he
isn't
plays
that
Hangman
a two
wrong.
Person? Isn't that a two-person
yeah, you,
event?
Yeah, it's not a game you play by yourself because one person has to make up the word.
And
well,
it's like more like 20
that's
questions,
what's creepy
right?
is he's playing it with a mysterious interloper that
is
that's
himself.
Creepy in concept.
Right. So, yeah. And
but
the
here's
detail,
the thing.
That's right. Because there's that beat where he tries to trace the writing and he thinks that Maria is
yeah.
breaking into his home, I guess, and writing the answers because the penmanship is similar.
Yeah.
And unlike his penmanship, which I think is interesting, but also makes sense in terms of like a almost a near psychotic break. Like,
yeah.
hasn't there been kind of, you know, some scientific basis for like handwriting changing after traumatic events uh-huh. and such, you know?
Or Phineas Gage type shit.
But
yeah.
It
also,
definitely seems like he's got like some form of schizophrenia or he's not aware of what the hand is doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't
also,
know that
Hangman
he's writing
wise,
them. Yeah.
When it says dash I dash L E R and he guesses that it's killer, the way Hangman works is if you guessed one of the L's, the other L would also be in place.
Yeah.
So he doesn't play Hangman correctly.
Yeah. It's Wheel of Fortune rules.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, my other thing about this movie, how did you guys feel about the score, the sting?
Yeah, super loud choice. It made it feel like the creator of the film wanted to position it or nod to like Hitchcock and Chinatown and stuff like that. They wanted to think they were living in that, punching in that like arena.
Yeah, in some ways I liked, in the beginning I liked it. It felt very cinematic. It did a good job setting a tone in the beginning. And then as it kept repeating, it just felt like, and as I kind of guessed,
almost Looney Tunesy.
It felt a little cartoony or in too on the nose of like, there's a mystery happening. Where
or like
that
a TV
away,
show, like Dr. House, when they're doing research, it's like, dun, 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 dun. We're trying
right.
different things.
Yeah, it felt like montage music for a mystery. Yeah. And I kind of wish it just let me follow the story. I think that was kind of just overall an issue with the movie, is that I was so, and maybe again, this is a 2024 lens looking at this movie, in that I was able to like call the shot pretty quickly of like, oh, he's losing his mind and he's making up people and something bad happened. That score did not help take that away, take that thought
away from
me.
Corny, right?
Oh, yeah. So the whole time I was like, yeah, we get it. There's a mystery. Stop telling me there's a mystery. I already know.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish the movie wasn't trying to have me figure it out the whole time. I don't know if it was or if it was just in my brain because I've seen too many movies already.
Well, and it had no, I think they never cohesed around a almost like a interior decorator has a theme and it hasn't come together. Like, I don't think they could decide like LA Confidential has a thing it can rally around because it's that 20s period. So there's 20 big band music. There's a consistency to that.
Right.
This has a wide variety of different, it's like the only thing that unites it is that it's classical music, but it's very, very, some seems way more lighter tone and more frivolous than other pieces.
Yeah, it's strange because I like it, but I think I would have, if the movie was plotted in a way where I was trying to more linear, where I was tracking something more linearly than I was, maybe that would have worked for me. But the fact that the whole time I'm like, well, something weird is going on.
Yeah.
This doesn't quite make sense. I can't quite track this movie just as a straightforward narrative.
And does that, do you care about stakes? Like, does that make it harder to care, watch because you're like already called that it's the Matrix? You're like, this is not real. Does that become boring until the reveal? Are you just waiting for the reveal?
No, I don't think it becomes, because I'm also not a person who cares about spoilers. You can spoil a movie. Mm-hmm. It still should be ideally fun to watch. And I do still think that if I agree with you, Swain, that I can see that if I go back and watch that movie, it becomes even more interesting now. But I just wish the narrative had a little bit more to track itself.
Even interesting, just mathematically satisfying, like those Drew Carey April Fool's days where they have a bunch of continuity errors. Like you're just noticing shit. Like, oh, that's from it. Oh, that's from it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something Fight Club does really well is that I am watching a compelling narrative throughout. There is something weird going on and something that's not quite adding up that I'm in the background trying to figure out, but it's not in the forefront of my mind as I'm watching this
movie.
And
The Matrix has bullet time action sequences for the first time in human history. And that's what it's bringing to the table in between the scenes.
Yeah, I kind of wish there was something, I mean, whether it is narratively or something just in the filmmaking that I'm watching that is distracting me a little bit from the mystery element of it all. I think that
hardcore
is the one thing
I'm... nudity.
Yeah. Sure.
Something. Give
there's
me something.
Something. It's something.
I mean, we do see a lot of skin from Christian Bale's like, if I'm fucking doing this, you show
gonna,
that shit.
You're going to see what I did to myself.
You're
going to
see my butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by butt,
and
you mean leg
to
back?
I'm like, no, put that butt back.
Yeah, it's really just leg to back.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive.
Oh, do they cut around his butt?
No, it just doesn't look like a butt. It's just...
I see.
Just two sticks.
Barely a butt.
Yeah.
Prosthetic.
It's essence of butt.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish there was some more, it's not even misdirect, but something else to follow that I wasn't just like, I know, it's that. I see it.
I think it's you need to bring something to the table in Act 1 and 2 that sticks and does feel real in some way, even in retrospect. And different projects approach that. Like we were saying, Vanilla Sky kind of does it with big soap opera offers that escalate. And that's good enough. Like that's kind of good. Matrix does it with unique action sequences. You got to have something.
Yeah.
And I think this movie kind of suffers on that front. When you look in retrospect, it was all fake. So you're like, okay, the only real thing that happens is the reveal.
Right. And when you're expecting a fake, you're like, well, this isn't real and this isn't real.
Yeah.
It becomes a little...
why doesn't Gandalf just do it?
There's nothing to really hang your hat on as you're watching the movie, especially if you're bracing for some sort of fake out.
Yeah.
It's tough for an indie film, man. You can't do a lot. And this has had a $5 million budget.
Oh, you man.
Know? And to me, that's a lot of money.
Pretty impressive.
Still.
Well, yeah. But, you know, you're using Christian Bale.
Most of that. And Jennifer. Yeah, a lot of that. I mean,
there's a lot of locations, actually, sneakily, I'd say. This thing went through Sundance.
But do you really have Christian Bale? Is he committed to the part? You know?
You
always
tell.
Have to doubt.
You know? Probably not. Yeah. You really
is
have to hype
this
that guy
seriously?
Up.
I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Phoning it in.
The director of this is Brad Anderson, who I didn't know, but I looked him up, and I was surprised to see that he was palling around with David Simon. For most of his early career.
Oh, Simon and Garfunkel.
Of The Wire fame, and he did a lot of HBO stuff.
I was surprised.
He also did some network stuff like The Shield, but like, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised to see he doesn't really go back to movies. He has a lot of very prestige TV under his belt, but he never really goes back to movies after this.
Yeah, he's still working on, there's some big,
he has some really,
say like the new,
it's
Game
like
Thrones
a gussied up Twilight Zone. It almost could be a long TV show.
Yeah.
It could totally be a Black Mirror if the score was different.
It does feel like a Black Mirror. It does feel like this is a very good, I can see why he went into TV directing and why TV kind of snatched him up.
And this is not directly about him being a good TV director, although I agree. Mm-hmm. I did think there was redeeming value in the little ways that how you develop your bag of tricks to build tension. Like, I never got, it didn't have to resolve as anything, but the constant shots of looking at Lye and bleach all the time that kept you somehow going, he's going to drink that bleach or something weird, right? He's going to inject that lie into someone. Something's going to happen with that. I've seen that trick played many times before, but I've never seen it. It's like the dog with the shifty eyes in Simpsons, but I've never seen it applied to cleaning stuff. I'm like, that's a good game. He looks at the lie for a long time and you're like, what's he thinking about that lie?
Yeah, the bleach is a really good misdirect, especially because... Yeah, cleaning your hands with bleach is such a specific thing to do.
He needs to expunge
the
guilt.
Very damaging.
Yeah, just, I was like, I don't think you're supposed to do that. 100%
bleach? At first, I thought you're killing yourselves.
Yeah, at first I was like, is that something machinists have to do? is that what gets the machine off your hands, is bleach?
At least water it down first. But
yeah,
like,
no, just straight powdered bleach.
Just powdered bleach, and he uses like it's
that
the
happens
same
in
thing that he
Fight
uses.
Fight Club, right? That, he kisses his hand and puts the bleach on it, or something.
Well,
like that.
That's to do the chemical burn. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's to show that they have chemical warfare at their disposal. But yeah, it's crazy that he uses it. Like, he uses it to clean his apartment, but also himself. Like, he is just a part of the apartment.
Right.
Like I think that's intentional. Nice. I think it's like he's cleaning it away. But it's also just like purging. He doesn't see himself as real, right? He sees himself as furniture, basically.
You know, as a trio who together off mic are working on casting an indie film, how jazzed, like, what is the moment like where you wrote a screenplay that says he's skeletal? Like, we show it. You can see his ribs through the back of his back. And they go, we got Christian Bale, guys. And you'll do it? You'll do the thing? Yeah, man, I'm into it. How happy are you? My God.
And yet, I'm terrified. You know, maybe as a writer-director, that's exciting for you guys. As the producer, I'm like, please don't die, sir.
Oh, my God. Waivers and
shit.
That's
right. Yeah. That's what you should be thinking about. So we don't have to, I guess.
I'd be so scared if I killed an A-list actor because... You dummies wrote that he starved
because they
himself.
Did it to themselves. Yeah.
You fucking basic ass.
It's a person.
This character constantly commits harikari and slits their stomach open, and he's method.
He smashes his head again and again.
I'd be terrified.
And we really show
no
it.
No stunts. I love if it just in the script just said no stunts.
no stunts. I would if that script was written and I got it and I was like, and we got a method actor to do it. Oh no.
Yeah, I'd be scared. That's true.
Oh
good
no.
Point.
Yeah, it's a method actor. Speaking of the, well, I just wanted to, because I'm just going down the list of stuff that I to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the song?
One thing I loved is that the writer, Scott Kozar, was listening to Nine Inch Nails a lot when he was writing it.
Oh, is that why Trevor
is intentional? In the hubbub.
So, oh, did you? Oh, okay.
Well, I said the movie's tone, if you're unfamiliar with the film, is the Nine Inch Nails would like
Nails,
this movie.
Yes, it's a very Nine Inch Nails movie, and that's intentional. And so is the
name Trevor Resnick.
Oh, if you know Nine Inch Nails, lead singer is Trent Reznor. So he literally took Reznick.
There were several times where I thought, like, is this, you know, like David Fincher often has them make songs for his movies. I kept reading in conjunction with this movie, the name Trevor Resnick, and kept reading in my head as Trent Reznor, and assuming he had something to do with this movie, it became a self-perpetuating cycle.
Well, and the boss, when the boss for the foreman's like, can you still run the machine today after the accident? He's like, I will let you down. I will make you hurt. Like, that's odd.
Yeah. The famous song by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. That's why the song was, I hurt myself today.
Yeah. I hurt myself today.
Yeah, I hurt my friend
today. We really
today.
Know a lot about Nine Inch Nails, guys.
Those two things.
Well, I want to do you like an animal. Is that right? Is that them?
Wait, I think that's Blood. Are you quoting Bloodhound Gang?
Maybe.
You and Me, Baby?
No.
And
definitely
is that
not.
Yeah. What you're quoting?
I want to do
no,
you like
an
animal.
No, I think you're thinking of Marilyn Manson.
Oh, probably. Well, either way, I only know it from the Weird Al Yankovic polka montage.
As always. Yeah. Fucking swame.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I got one more question for you because we've been talking a lot about symbology and such. And this, what's the deal with the fish? Is that just me and his past life? You know, because we get
the fish. What's in the fridge?
Photo.
Oh, the fish. Yeah. Well, they were fishing in the photo.
Fishing in the photo, and then he opens his bleeding fridge.
Yeah,
and it's fish heads.
I would.
That are decomposing.
Not that it's like what I want to happen. I mean. It depends how it's handled, if it's too on the nose or not. But I feel like symbolically, shouldn't it be the dead kid? Or isn't that?
Yeah, it should be dead kids.
I was braced for something so much worse
More
than fish
dead
heads.
Kids.
Me
More
too.
Dead I was kids. Like truly braced for something horrible in that scene. And I was like, oh, it's fish. Great.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
You know,
that's what I mean is I would have liked if even more stuff was symbolic or almost impressionistic. Instead of when you watch it again and you're like, so what's the meaning of the cigarette lighter? Well, there's no meaning. It's very, that's what makes me say Usual Suspects. It just was there. What's the meaning of the water tower? It just was a thing that he saw at that moment.
Yeah. Like fish was chosen because, maybe the fishing thing with the photo.
Yeah.
But
well,
like,
because
it's gross fishing.
Yeah.
It's gross fisher.
But even the
fish stuff.
Yeah, but even the photo doesn't have that much to do with the guilt of it all.
No, the only thing I can think of is it's definitely an icon of his past.
Well, it's like the trauma freezes the moment in your mind, I guess, is the...
Like a freezer. No, to me, the fridge is that he is encasing in a small box away from him, the trauma of his past life. He's literally closing that door. And when he opens it and it's been decomposing because it's been so long, he is confronting the horror and, Raskolnikov's form of, kind of identity crisis. I don't know. That seems like a stretch to me.
Don't bother me about this.
But it also, I could see that might be the argument by the writer.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know how much
but
the
it's
writer
like,
even cares.
Like it was said. Exactly 1:30 p.m. when he hit the kid, and you see 1:30 throughout the movie as if it's the red X's in The Departed, predicting who will die.
Yeah. Another one is that the license plate of Resnick is on the red convertible is the reverse of his Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 743 CRN and then it's NRC 347 or whatever, so the whole point, I guess, is just that it's a reversal, which is that's a maneuver, but what does it mean? It just means that it's a mirror image, I guess. So
I guess
that works.
It is a fun movie.
It's pop
for...
psychology. It's not complex, realistic psychology.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
it's a
identity.
Fun movie for Easter egg hunting.
Yes,
I feel like it's a movie that's really built around that. And in some ways, I like that. I feel like it is a more subdued and less sensationalized way of how guilt like that might work. Mm-hmm. But as a storytelling device, it's not the most satisfying way to go about that.
It doesn't earn you much. Yeah.
It doesn't earn you
Otherwise,
much. And then you're left with stuff.
If you tighten up the first part, it, for example, made it prestige TV length, 45 minutes, I think you could really knock it out of the park.
Yeah, it is strange to me that this movie, I was surprised to find it was only an hour 45, and it does feel like, I hate to say it, because I don't like how long movies are now, but it does feel like it needs more time to breathe.
Oh, more time. You'd make it longer. Okay.
It feels like it has to be. Or, I mean, I like that it moves at a clip, but it feels like it doesn't do enough work in the first and beginning,
I think it
of
needs
second act to set
to
up.
Have more insight beyond, or it doesn't, sure. And it's shorter, like it's purely a Twilight Zone. Oh, isn't yeah. that great, clever?
It's a great Black Mirror.
Which you
yeah.
keep shorter. Yeah. Versus if you're yeah. going to go on longer, I do think it should have an opinion on.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead yeah. of just presenting it and going, huh, the guy was yeah. that guy, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It works fun. Great as prestige TV. And
yeah,
as a movie,
that's a TV maneuver, right?
Yeah, yeah. As a movie, it needs a little bit more meat on its bones.
Yes.
Yeah.
It kind of feels Bridget, like everyone.
Let's go.
Everyone,
that's
Bridget.
Here.
Everyone, Bridget. it kind of feels like a Where's Waldo kind of game. If that's like your,
yeah.
if that's he what you're doing at
skinny.
That point.
Yeah, I see it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want to see what that's what they should do now, because we're doing remakes of brands.
Speaking
as
of
IPs,
that, well,
let's do Where's Waldo. What's up with that fucking freak wizard?
I was
yeah,
just in
a
New
lot
Zealand.
Of wide shots. Just
I was just in
lights.
New Zealand and I saw that book, the classic Where's Waldo book, and over yeah. there, for no fucking reason, it's Where's Walter. It's they like it's printed differently.
I love when
because
things
Waldo
different.
In Australian actually is
like it means vagina.
yeah, it means vagina.
Where's the G spot?
So you can't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what
by G
those
I mean
fuckers
guilt.
Are up? It's all backward over mm-hmm. there. Only because I think I watched it with the 2024 goggles. That
yeah.
really made me go, oh, I know where this is going. I
yeah.
know what the puzzle is, and the pieces are not that complex. I've seen more complex versions of this.
Yeah.
And arguably, it already exists. Like, Memento, to me, with like the shots of the mm-hmm. lighter and stuff like that, where it's pieced together, is
yeah.
almost a more...
Momentum
it
is
feels
a, yeah.
more visceral about it.
Well,
even
leaving
though
yourself
it is doing
notes.
The same game.
Even if you write like it on a sticky note or your skin, it's still the mechanic leaving yourself notes because you have memory loss.
Leaving yourself notes, but also like we do get shots of just like quickly edited versions of his past life that we can discern no meaning. And
yeah.
at this time, there's also a big like Mexican emergence in Hollywood cinema, like with mm-hmm. 21 Grams and Amores Perros, like Inarritu and all them. They did non-linearity. Non-linearity was very much as an
yeah.
editing style, like of this time. There was a lot of really good stuff already out by the time that this came out.
Yeah,
that
2004
kind of
feels. Yeah, it feels
it
too late.
It took the wind out of the sails of this movie, which is a shame because it does it fairly well. Like it's like very workmanlike.
Yeah.
And it's like you were talking about it, you almost want more of it because it kind of just seems like you're just doing the, you know, simplistic version of it.
I mean, what yeah. I will say stands out about this movie is the performance, is Christian Bale's performance.
Exactly.
Right. I think that is the reason you come back to it in 2024. I don't think the plotting is particularly like there are movies that if you're going to watch something in this vein, I would tell you to watch before if you're watching for the story of it all.
For the record, Jennifer Jason Leigh, also a very good actor in
so good.
I mean, the scene between
the
two of
everything.
Them.
Right.
She, yeah, every single like, time. She's fantastic. I was so excited to see her in this movie because she does not get enough work and she's so good. And
the
yeah.
scene with her and Christian Bale where he accuses her of, like, you're a spy, basically. You're fucking
yeah.
up my life. And... it's all a figment of
because that would be the
mm-hmm.
twist if this
probably,
were a noir movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's probably the best scene in the movie. In my
it is. And it's a scene that could so easily, because it is a loud scene, especially on the part of Christian Bale,
yeah.
That could so easily be overdone.
Melodramatic. Yeah.
Melodramatic and overplayed and become that scene in A Marriage Story.
totally.
And I think as scripted,
at its worst, but they're
it
so
actually,
good.
Yeah, he helps smooth it. But as scripted, it kind of is a little more caricature than feeling like grounded real characters.
Yeah.
Mainly because the people that he fucks over, he has like clockwork. They keep doing this repeated beat where he's suddenly a huge dick and levels this paranoid attack at them, where he could have easily asked in a more tactful way or built up to it. The one that sticks out is, instead of just like having a processing conversation with her, which they seem to have a healthy relationship, him and Jennifer Jason Leigh,
for
multiple scenes, and then he immediately switches to, oh, I don't like this, mocking her in a way where it's like, I mean, I guess that's why he says, who are you, is his recurring thing, but you do wonder, it feels like too sharp of corners or a flattened out character in a way.
Jennifer Jason Leigh does a great job, especially in that scene, of grounding that performance, because you have the Christian Bale is the one going off the rails and she's the one that really holds that scene together. She's great opposite him in this movie, and she's so good in every movie, like holding her ground against these very powerful performances in this very like calm, subdued way. I love her as an actress.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Fantastic.
She's a national treasure.
I don't think she's ever missed, you know?
No. She was great in Fargo, season 5. I was like trying to remember what I just watched her in, and I was like, that was incredible. And it was Fargo season 5. She plays a very character-y character, doing an insane accent, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen. I mean, at this point we spoiled it, but like
we spoiled
just for
it.
That,
yeah, but yeah, for the performances, I would say you know, look up best scenes, and you can see.
Just look up the hits.
Whatever you factor in, it's your business.
The Machinist hits, baby. Just give me
the Machinist hits. Give me the highlights. No, I mean it's a quick watch, and. Incredible performances. That was the thing I was really blown away by.
You should imbibe the story the ideal way, which is a montage of Machinist scenes and the One Piece scenes that are most similar to them.
I know what I wanted to mention, which is that Christian Bale's diet right after this, because he became Batman.
Oh yeah, he immediately had to bulk up.
It wasn't like he's done both in his life. They were adjacent.
They were back to back
consecutive.
Yeah,
like
it took
3 or 4 weeks
off his
after
life.
They shot, he had a screen test for Batman.
It's like being present.
He wasn't full Batman, but he had to bulk up a considerable amount just to at least look like Christian Bale.
Like
again.
He could be,
And his answer for that, which is insane to me, because he's got like nutritionists and all this stuff around
all the advice,
him in his
right?
orbit. The answer was obviously a lot of weightlifting to get back his muscle mass, but all he did is eat pizza and liquefied ice cream.
Yes, dude. Yeah. That's what I do all the time. I'm going to be Batman.
You're going to be Batman.
That's how I'm bulking up, baby.
That just seems so dangerous to me, though.
Right.
No. Just diabetes.
Yeah.
It
can't be good for your internal organs. I know.
Your organs are fucked.
It just cut to
and
Jen.
And they're already fucked.
Jen finding me. Melting a gallon of ice cream and drinking it over the fridge, and I'm like, it's the method.
And a cowl.
This is the method that demands it.
Even better, you're just like, Jen, I'm going to be Batman.
Yeah, I truly imagine just full Homer Simpson standing in front of the microwave in a cowl and tidy whities.
I'm Papa Bear.
I'm
going to be Papa Bear.
Opens up the fridge. It's just fish heads. It's just fish heads.
Yeah.
And we don't eat that in this house, only pizza and ice cream. Well, I want to thank you, Bridget, for being around here and chatting with us. This was delightful to catch up and talk Machinist, as we do, you know, every few months we get together and we talk about this movie.
Have you seen all the recommendations for various trilogies? Do you ever get into the Discord, the chat?
A lot of people
throwing trilogy ideas at you.
We
for
do,
threes.
And I'm like very impressed with some of the trilogies that have come up. We're looking.
It hasn't been decided yet. Okay.
Film nerds.
Yeah.
So someone say the Colors trilogy.
The Colors trilogy.
Like, really?
That was the one that
we covered.
Got called out that I was like, okay, yeah, film school.
All right. So if you did that comment, just know that we
the
all
thinking man's Cornetto.
Acknowledged that, and we're like,
I also wanted to shout out the Stephen Chow written directed trilogy, which would be
that one's good.
I forget what it's called, Best Chef or something, then Shaolin Soccer, and then Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah, there was good. We were talking
God of Cooking. Thank you.
I think we were batting around the Machete trilogy, the Robert Rodriguez trilogy.
Yeah,
there are a couple.
One's pretty good.
Boo to that, but only because we've made one film, Kill Me Now, and when a big chunk of the budget went away, it's because it had been reapportioned to the Machete budget.
Oh, well then, no. Well then, there we go.
Yeah, well,
we lost that one.
That,
sorry.
Well,
not
until
after Papa Bear is being made. We don't need to jinx it.
Yeah.
I don't know what Robert Rodriguez
do what you need to do. Do your thing.
Desperado, though, man.
Yeah. Well,
love me.
Yeah. We'll figure it out, but we're definitely poking around in those suggestions. They're great, and they're never expected, which we love. We keep trying to throw people off, and I don't think there's any throwing off the Small Beans audience.
No, they're ready for anything.
It's insane. Yeah, it's awesome. So keep throwing us those suggestions. We love them.
It's great. And so look for that, because Shooting Threes will have a new trilogy coming up soon in the next month or so.
Yeah.
What else?
I set you up
for
that.
What do we got on the docket here? Oh, yeah. Plug your shit, man. What? Tell us where we find you.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm around. I'm around. I mean, here is a good place to find me and what I'm doing.
That's right.
Small Beans Network. We're making a movie. I'll let you guys talk about that because you have all the words.
Not right now.
You can find me on Instagram, Bridget_Greenberg. That's typically where I post things that I
mostly
do.
Insta now. Okay.
Mostly Insta. Yeah. I mean, there's Twitter or X or whatever we want to call it, but that's, it feels so bad to plug that. Yeah, we'll call it Twitter. It feels so bad to plug that, but you can follow me there. It's Bridget Tweets.
Yeah.
It's great.
See, you're already fucked. Like your whole identity is around the tweet concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
When they email you, the email still comes from X, formerly Twitter. So I think as long as you, if your brand is at the point where you don't dare not call it that because people won't know what you're talking about.
Know what you're talking about.
Then you've lost. Your name is Twitter.
It's so bad. There's no way I'd open an email from x.com.
Right.
He's going to give it to you.
Jesus.
That's why I'm afraid.
Another song I only know from the Weird Al Polka montage.
That's right.
X gonna give it to you.
After this episode, which comes out on the 8th of April 2024, look forward to Escape from the Multiverse coming out this week. We're going to be talking Primer, baby.
Oh my God. So good.
There's so much to say about Primer, right? Because we are
talking about
nerds.
A movie that's
nerds.
Mathematical little connections
over talked about. Well, you're gonna get these two fuckers plus
enough.
Adam talking about that, and we got Star Trek The Next Futurama coming up for our 69th episode. Pretty sweet sex number.
Nice.
Another one-upsmanship episode coming out the following week on Diablo 4. Better late than never. That's it for
whatever.
The Small Beans roadmap.
Okay.
You got anything else, Michael?
Nah.
Are we out?
Long episode.